After a few miles, they came to the Lekab River, ordinarily a substantial tributary, but only knee-deep now in the parched and cloudless days of the dry season. They quickly forded the stream, then passed through a tall stand of bamboo that clothed the far bank in a shimmery green. The bamboo gave way to another open field. The men squished across the dry grassland in their soaked fatigues and soggy boots, heading straight for a barrio called Lobong. The village dogs snarled on the outskirts, and the men could see clusters of pigs dozing in the cool shadows thrown by the high, stilted shacks. Just outside the barrio, Musi called his rangers to a halt.
"Captain Hosen!" he cried out.
Standing before them were Eduardo Hosen and his Filipino guerrillas. Lobong, Hosen's headquarters, was the designated rendezvous point. From here, Hosen and his men would guide the rangers to the next barrio, where they would hook up with a second and even larger contingent of guerrillas. "Mabuhay!" Hosen called out. "You are Colonel Musi?" Musi flashed a guarded smile. "Magandang hapon, and welcome to Lobong," the captain said, then offered an expansive gesture. "My men." Behind him, the guerrillas casually tipped their straw buri hats and grinned. They were a ragged band, rice farmers clutching bolo knives, teenagers straddling ponies, a few old-timers stooped alongside their mud-streaked carabaos. Many of the men were unarmed and barefoot, wearing sturdy peasant clothes, their teeth stained with beetle. Among their diverse ranks stood 60 or 70 well-trained soldiers, men hardened by 3 long years of hectoring the despised Japanese. Their khaki uniforms were threadbare and faded, and they carried old Springfield bolt-action rifles from the battlefields of Bataan. Hosen was a short, generous-spirited man in his mid-30s, bright but of limited education. He was a natural politician with a knack for gentle persuasion and a broad smile full of good teeth. Major Laugham, the American guerrilla leader, had always considered Hosen one of his most capable officers. Hosen couldn't count the run-ins he'd had with the Japanese over the past 3 years, skirmishes and ambushes and moonlight raids. Hosen thrilled to the idea of attacking Cabanatuan. His runners had brought him the news the night before. He and his lieutenants immediately went out into the countryside, canvassing the surrounding barrios to round up as many able-bodied men as possible. Now, here they were, mustered and ready to join the mission. Without their help, the raid was scarcely even possible. The guerrillas were intimately familiar with the backcountry trails and knew the size and location of every Japanese garrison. They knew which snakes were poisonous and which pools were drinkable. They knew all the easiest places to cross the rivers and streams. Hosen and his men would flank the Americans all the way to Cabanatuan and all the way back. They would assume the same risks as the rangers, and in one regard they assumed far more. If an enemy scout learned who the guerrillas were, the Japanese could take revenge by wiping out an entire village. It wasn't an idle threat. The Japanese had visited these sorts of reprisals upon barrios throughout the Central Plain for 3 years now. For the rangers, the intensely pro-American loyalty of Filipinos like Hosen and his guerrillas was both touching and a little hard to understand. Yes, they shared the same enemy, and if anything, the Filipinos hated the Japanese even more virulently than the Americans did. But why should the Filipinos worry over the fate of 500 American prisoners when they had their own immeasurable tragedies and sufferings to contend with? Their country was going up in flames all around them. One would think that Hosen and his men might resent America for all the trouble that seemed to come in its long wake, or at least that they'd think twice about endangering their own village to help solve an American problem. But the guerrillas seemed as excited about the raid as the rangers did. For whatever reason, or combination of reasons, they still regarded the Yanks with a curious and almost brotherly affection. They were even willing to die for them.